On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Tweet from somebody named Echo. What's one thing a man has done that made you feel immediately emotionally safe? Retweeted by Seth C. Payne. At Sean T. Pendergast remembers names for me.
Yeah.
That makes you feel emotionally safe.
I do. I feel emotionally safe because of it.
Good,
yes.
Man, I'm glad. I'm glad I can help.
The other, I felt emotionally unsafe after I blanked on the Rockies series, and I was trying to remember the loss. I couldn't remember who the pitcher was. Because one of our listeners said that, you know, watch that Rockies series. That's why people get nervous about going against bad teams.
Yeah.
I place it in a separate category because Brandon Walter let up 5 runs in that loss. And Brandon Walter is not a guy that I feel like back in the 2017 or 2019, especially the 2019 version of the Astros. I don't feel the same way about this team that I did about that. That team was a force of nature,
yes,
offensively and defensively. Yeah, there's I don't need them to continue this stretch of series wins and ties, partly because they're a scrappy team that's going to play a bunch of one-run games. And if a guy like Brandon Walter or Colton Gordon gives up 5 or 6 runs, that's not playing down to your opponent.
No.
That's a young pitcher having a rough go of it.
That's exactly right. And it's funny, too. Brian, they're replaying the game on Space City Home Network. Brian King just came into the game. They're in the 8th inning now, and he's in the game for the Astros on the replay here. And, like, of all the relievers right now, Brian King is the one that inspires the least confidence or among that. He's had some rough outings. They just showed his stats. He's got a 3.09 ERA. Like, we're very spoiled with this bullpen right now.
Yeah, no, I was kind of surprised that you were. Brian King's been really, really good.
He had a rough stretch, within the last couple weeks. Yeah.
We had mentioned it the day before he ended up having it. So he had a couple scary performances in a row.
Right.
And then wasn't used as much in the last, is the first reliever in the last couple days because the Dodgers have so many lefties.
Yeah.
But the record for the Astros, if they make it past the 7th inning, they're absurdly 43-2 or something when leading after the 7th inning. That's mostly because of Abreu and Hader, but King's been a big part of it.
Yeah, no, again, like two or three bad outings is enough to get you on that list when it comes to with this bullpen. It's enough to get you, oh no, Brian King. On any other team, you're right. He's probably, you know, he's their second or third best reliever. All right, Texans All Access had Xavier Hutchinson and Damian Pierce on recently. Xavier Hutchinson was asked about the Texans offense. What does he expect to be different this year with the offense under Nick Caley?
I just think it's going to be something different that, you know, people aren't used to us seeing from us. We're still going to, you know, carry our core principles. We're going to be tough. We're going to be explosive. But I think we're going to have a lot more players in the right places to be able to make the plays. And I think as a whole, we're just going to be a lot more confident. We're going to be riding that confidence train to the end of it.
Yeah, I like it.
But, you know, it's just going to be an offense that has multiple uses, multiple purposes. Anybody can get the ball in any scenario and be used.
Okay, the parts I jotted down, Seth, in listening to that, I've listened to it a few times, obviously. Guys are going to be in the right places, and the word confidence, which is a word we're going to hear again here when we listen to Damian Pierce, but that was a cut I listened to with Xavier Hutchinson. And it's the natural inclination right now with a new offensive coordinator and a new offense, especially one we haven't seen play yet. Is it anything they're saying they're better at right now through OTAs and minicamp? I'm assuming is something that they weren't good at last year. The guys either weren't in the right place, weren't grasping the offense to think themselves into the right place, and that there was obviously a confidence issue maybe last year at some point.
Well, the part about guys being in the right places and then just however you phrased it, but having options, the big thing for me was Bobby Slowick's offense not having hot routes, not having the right timing to where it comes to where the check down isn't there when CJ needs it to be there. There's a lot that contributed to the pass protection issues being even worse than it might have been because CJ didn't always have the options that a lot of quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
And then I don't think that they were – there was probably some gap between what was being coached and how the players understood it,
mm-hmm.
which that still goes back on the offensive coordinator. I was looking at – Ogunba Wale did an interview with the Texans radio guys last week, and they were talking about his pass blocking. And in my mind, I'm thinking of all the times that the Texans didn't pick up blitzes or in that Chiefs game where the running backs were not very good in pass protection or what have you. And I'm like, man, I don't think Ogunba Wale is, in theory, a good pass protector, but there are a lot of sketchy moments this year. I looked at his pass blocking grades just for the hell of it from PFF, and he's like two of his worst seasons in pass blocking in his career were in these last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, in 2022, he had a really high grade for pass blocking. But so I go back and I'm watching the Green Bay game to try to figure out why they were struggling with some of the blitzes. And a lot of it does come down to either miscommunications or just a simplistic pass protections in that almost invite corner blitzes, but then CJ not having an option early in the down when they don't have the pass protection settled.
Yep.
There were just a lot of systemic issues with the way they were operating that didn't give anybody options, mm-hmm. didn't give the receivers options, didn't give the quarterback options. So it's, yes, I like to hear it right now, but in actuality, you got to prove it on the field.
Yep.
So I like that Kaley is addressing these things, and he seems to be teaching in a way that the players like, but we just have to see it on the field.
You'll like this one then. This is from Damian Pierce, who was on Texans All Access last week on Kaley's playbook, talks about him teaching and bringing the juice.
It just comes down to how Coach Kaley has organized and taught the playbook. You know, it's one thing to have a lot of plays mm-hmm. and, you know, have a lot of players at your disposal. Oh, we got this for that situation. But if everybody don't understand it and they don't click and stick, it's kind of hard to go out there on game day and be completely confident in what you're doing. So Coach Kaley has done a great job of, you know, micromanaging the playbook these last 3 weeks, you know, with phase one, phase two, phase three, you know, he's just been introducing bit by bit. And we just been understanding the whole picture as offense just that way. And you can tell him, man, he brings the juice every day. He's enthusiastic about what he does. He believes in what he does. And that's what we're buying into. That's what we're doing right now. This is what OTAs is for. Like, we're buying in right now. We're trusting what he got on the paper. And everybody seemed comfortable to me. That's one mm-hmm. thing I can definitely tell you from last year coming this year, everybody seems comfortable. Everybody seems confident in what they're doing. And, man, we got some good things brewing up.
Oh, good things brewing up. I like click it and stick it. Yeah. Something to a click and stick. Is that a phrase?
Or I don't,
did you just come
guess.
Up with that?
I don't know.
It sounds like something from either firearms or contraception.
Dude, I don't know. Firearms or contraception.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like Damian Pierce, half the phrases he comes up with, he just makes up in that moment. You know, like he's
like country freestyling.
Yeah, freestyling, exactly.
It's not freestyle rapping. It's like it's just country sitting out in the back of your pickup bed.
Yeah.
Just
jargon.
Freelancing.
It's country jargon. He freestyles country jargon. Yeah. He used the word confidence twice in that cut. He's the one guy who looks the last couple years looks like there's been a definite confidence issue. Like he runs differently. He runs like he's thinking, you know, like it's.
Yeah, no, 100%. And the zone scheme, and it's not like the Texans aren't going to run zone blocking plays. They will. But the level that what they were expecting out of Damian Pierce and what they were trying to fit him into, I just don't know if that's his game. So when you've got this many running backs right now, and it's going to get really interesting during training camp, because
mm-hmm.
Depending on how Nick Chubb looks, you've got some tough decisions to make.
Yes.
And at the same time, I like that they all have different skill sets. I think Woody Marks has a much different skill set than Damian Pierce and Nick Chubb and Joe Mixon. But you've got the injury considerations with Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. So I don't want to just get – and Ogunba Wale is such a special teams contributor.
Yep.
It's going to be really difficult. Not to mention they're going to carry at least one fullback.
They'll carry a fullback too. No, you nailed it. The signing of Nick Chubb, and by dollar amount, it's a low-level signing. It's 1 year, $2.5 million, some incentives built in. By name and by quantity, it made the running back room one of the most interesting rooms in training camp. And especially for us out there, Seth, that is one of the positions that it feels like, even in days where there aren't pads, you differentiate yourself in some way. Like, it's harder to watch the offensive line and defensive line in the non, for me it is at least. I mean, you probably see things, I'm sure, that I don't. But like, that's all the positions that have the ball in their hands at some point, we draw conclusions from. And so you got Mixon, well, Chubb, and all the names you just named.
You know, and I know you know that you are prone to overreacting positively to running backs
very
and no
much
pads.
So, yeah.
Woody Marks is going to be that guy.
For me?
You are going to be convinced that this is Dave Meggett.
You're right.
That, it, like, okay, this is the, like, this, because they're going to be, they are, I can tell by everything they're saying, is that they want to be more diverse. They want to attack all areas of the field. It's not going to be like Bobby last year thinking he was going to be the greatest show on turf and just launch it deep. You know, I send in four verticals every single down or something to all these speed demons you have out there. Like, they're going to, like, you got to, the one biggest thing that I hope CJ learns from Tom Brady is that check down is a dirty word. Not that you shouldn't be hitting your check down. It's that you shouldn't be thinking about it as the last resort. There's times where your check down, because you've read the defense, because you know what's coming, that's your go-to right there. That your best chance, so you don't waste beats of the play doing it. And Woody Marks is going to be a big part of that, or at least they hope he is.
So he's who I'm going to fall in love with at this training camp. Woody Marks, that's your prediction?
Woody Marks, and then I think that also the Nick Chubb is going, in no pads, he's going to look awesome.
Yeah.
So that's the tough part, is like, okay, how does it stand up to full pad?
Chubb is the one where I'm most likely to get David Johnsoned. Remember that? Yeah. That's what started this whole string of bloodshed in my running back evaluations, was when they traded for David Johnson in the COVID year, and I was the one person out there with eyes on the practice for the station. So at the very least, I led all my coworkers into really bad fantasy football decisions that year, probably. But I was gushing about David Johnson. You know who was on our flight to Jamaica?
Oh, David Johnson?
David Johnson and his family were on our flight to Jamaica. Yeah, yeah.
Spending that Texans money.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
He was sitting in coach.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But he did have, when he got to the airport in Jamaica, you know, I didn't know this was available. I'm sure it costs money. But they've got people there that will literally meet you at your gate and walk you through everything that you need to do. Getting
for
your
customs and everything.
Customs, yeah. getting through, getting your transfer out of the airport.
They're actual official people, not like the people outside the train station in New York that are telling you.
They have uniforms.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They have a clipboard.
Okay.
They have a clipboard with them, and on the back of the clipboard is the name of the family that they're looking for. And so he did have one of those. So he sat in coach.
Only he had that. Oh, okay. I thought you meant that was a service that they provided for everybody.
No. There were him and several others, but not me and Amy. You know, like, I didn't know. Now, had I known it was available, I would have definitely priced it to reduce the stress of going through customs in a foreign
country. Well, a lot of the nicer resorts have people like that for you, too.
Yeah.
And
that's true. The resort may have sent somebody over for him.
Seems like I remember going to Disney once and having some, like, an experience like that, except it was on Matt. Like, we were like, you know, a herd of cattle.
Yeah.
But the resort we were staying at was super cool about just getting everything, getting the luggage all provided.
That's Disney, man. The level of service there is amazing, for sure. By the way, top of the hour, I'll have five things I learned from Jamaica. Odd number, five things I learned from Jamaica. And then if you're ever thinking of going there, it'll serve as a PSA. So we'll do that. Someone asked earlier, I hope Sean has another men's bathroom story like the one, like the trip to Boston I took a month ago where some dude was basically humping the urinal. I do. One of the five things I learned is bathroom related in Jamaica.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm excited about this. Yeah. I feel like you're gonna help me out of embarrassing situations that I wouldn't have known. You know, now I've got the warning on what not to do in Jamaica.
It'll be very, very good, I promise. All right. Seth and I do a NFL head coach death pool draft for the first NFL head coach to get fired. We'll do it within the next several weeks. We each pick four. I think we need to start scouting right now. Who's on the radar for the hot seats for the Payne and Pendergast NFL head coach death pool? We will do that. Seth won last year, by the way. He had Robert Saleh. That was the winner. We'll do that. Yeah, it did. We'll do that coming up next.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.